Be seated. Pastor's coming with the announcements.
Morning. So glad you're here this morning. A couple of things I need to highlight. I had several things that were handed to me. Art and Betty Irvin, and they are not able to come that often because of their age, but today is their 63rd wedding anniversary. 63 years. So maybe some of you this week that live over by them or something like that can knock on the door and say happy anniversary, or if you think, send them a card. 63 years for Art and Betty. Terry Garfield's mom, this is a prayer request. She's in a hospital in Alpena, and she needs surgery, and she's very resistant to that surgery. So add Terry's mom to your prayer list, and we'll make sure she's added Wednesday night as well. I was handed this by the assistant treasurer, and some of you have called me and emailed me this week wondering about offering envelopes. Well, they're out there on the table, and if for some reason you don't see yours out there or you want some, there's a sign-up sheet you can put up there as well. Then I have a thank you card, and it's handwritten, and sometimes I like to read these beforehand so that I can make sure I read it correctly, but it's very neat. Did you write it, or did your wife write it? You wrote it? So it's good handwriting, okay? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are sincerely grateful for the love that you have shown us, especially in the last 3 weeks. We know that it was through God's leading we are here at First Baptist. Sincerely, Eva and Ron Baldwin. And Eva's been dealing with a back surgery, and we're glad to see you here today. And that's exciting, and all through with rehab and things like that. In your bulletin, you'll notice there's a little card that looks like this. It's just an advertisement of our upcoming sermon series. You can look on the back of that, and you can keep this maybe on your refrigerator to remind you what we're studying or looking at, or better yet, instead of just keeping it on your refrigerator, find somebody that doesn't have a church, or maybe somebody that you'd like to invite to church, and you can hand them this and say, hey, come to our church. This is what our pastor's talking about over the next few weeks, and we'd appreciate that. And then the last thing, and I know there's a lot of other announcements I could highlight in the bulletin. Just go ahead and read that and look that over. But the last thing is this welcome card. I think everybody has one of these in the bulletin. If you don't, there's some in the pews in front of you. Go ahead and grab that. And I see a few first-time guests here today. Fill that out, and as the offering plate goes by, you can drop that in. If you're a long-time member here and one of these is in your bulletin, just go ahead and slip it in the pew in front of you, and we'll save a little paper that way. But I think that's all the announcements I'm going to take time for today, and we're just excited that you're here, and we're excited to study the Word of God together. So if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity to gather together as family and friends. And Lord, we would just hope and pray that this week would be a week where we can praise your name together, where we can lift you up and push Jesus to the forefront. And I know all kinds of other things are going on, but Lord, guide our hearts and guide our spirits that we would not become distracted with those other things, that we would remember what the real reason for the season's about. And Lord, watch over our service this morning as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray together. Be exalted, O Lord, above the heavens. May thy glory be above all the earth. We thank you for so much you've given us. As we take this time to worship you with returning to small portion, we pray you'll bless it, empower it to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christmas. You can talk. It's fine. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Great. Grab a copy of the Word of God and find the book of Luke. If you don't have a Bible, or maybe you forgot your Bible, there's black ones in the backs of the pews. You can go ahead and take one of those out. If two of you are reaching for the same Bible, have a rock, paper, scissors contest to see who gets to use it. But find Luke chapter 2. If you're not sure where that is, it's right after Luke 1. Just kidding, it's page 1179. But really, if you don't own a Bible at all, you can go ahead and take one of those black Bibles in the pews, and that can be our Christmas present to you. But this morning, our plan is to raise your confidence level in God. And I'll tell you why. It's been a good year. My wife and I had our fourth child, a healthy baby boy, and by and large, things have been going well for most of you. I know there's some issues that some of you have faced. Many have dealt with losing loved ones, and maybe this is the first Christmas without them. But the good news is, regardless of all of those things, you can this morning, and you should be confident because of what Jesus has done for us. So that's all I'm doing this morning is reminding you of things you already know. And I'll be reading the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2. And most of us, I think, are probably pretty familiar with that. But as we read this, I want us to think about it and really consider it. And I want our confidence level in God to go ahead and increase. Does anyone here have a household where Princesses Anna and Elsa are constantly brought up? Does anybody have one of those? Basically, I'm asking, does anybody here have a young girl at their house? I do, and that's all we hear about. My daughter walks around the house twirling and throwing her arms up and saying, "Let it go, let it go." That's the best I can do for you. She does it much better. She wants to dress like a princess. She wants princess stickers on her wall, and don't worry, they're the kind that are removable, okay? But we have all these things at the house, these folks at Disney are just brilliant. They put princesses all over the place. There's Princess Mac and Cheese. There's Princess Toothpaste, Princess Shampoo, and all these things are just pushed, and they must make billions off fathers and little girls, and the only reason I bring up princess stories is if we're not careful, what happened with the first Christmas with Jesus might just get pushed aside as another story, as a legend, like it's just make-believe, like Frozen. But that's not what we believe, is it? Jesus was real, and it was not once upon a time. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, that the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." You can immediately tell that this was not once upon a time. This was an actual event that happened during the reign of Caesar Augustus, during the census, while Quirinius was governor in Syria. This is not a fantasy. This is history. There is time. There is a location. Everything is listed there. These are all historically verifiable facts. And something like this should raise your confidence level in God. Jesus really was born as a baby. He lived, and there isn't a single honest historian, whether he's religious or whether he is irreligious, that denies that Jesus lived. He was arrested, he was crucified, and nobody questions that. And if these things are true, I think there's some implications for us. For instance, why did Jesus leave heaven and take on a fragile human body? I mean, that's something to really consider. If all these things are really true, why did Jesus do this? Well, last week we began to learn the answer to that week. Basically, Jesus came to this earth, took on a fragile human body because we had all went astray. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. That's the whole point of Christmas. We need a Savior, so God sent a Son, Jesus, God in the flesh, who lived a perfect life. And in all the ways that we failed, he succeeded. He was perfect. And when he died on the cross, he took the penalty for our sins. Then 3 days later, he came back to life. There was a resurrection. The resurrection was real. It had to be real. Otherwise, why would have Christianity just taken off like it did? Christianity just exploded. There was huge growth. The only explanation for that is people must have seen Jesus alive. The disciples, when Jesus was arrested, what did they all sort of do? The Bible says they scattered. They sort of went into hiding. In fact, one of the disciples, Peter, was pressed. Hey, don't you know Jesus? 3 times he denied knowing him, and he began to even curse and swear and just emphatically deny Jesus Christ. And now all of a sudden, all these men, they're saying he's alive. The disciples go from weak cowards to boldly preaching about Jesus. In fact, they scattered all over the world telling people about God. And then if you read the history books, most of those people died horrible deaths because of what they were preaching. Jesus was born to rescue us and forgive us, at least for anyone that puts their faith in him. And since he is alive, he will give us new life someday. That's why Jesus was born. That's why he came at Christmas. And there's nothing more amazing that will happen this Christmas than that. But like most people, we don't think that way. We sort of skip over those things. A lot of people, in fact, they look at the Bible like it's a fairy tale, and confidence in God it's probably at an all-time low. It seems like more people believe in Santa and flying reindeer than they do in Jesus Christ. But that doesn't change the facts of why Jesus came. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why Jesus came. So all over this world, people believe that, and they believe that they've been rescued and they're saved. And all over this world, right now today, churches are telling people about Jesus. They're talking about Jesus. They're telling the story of salvation. The good news is going out, and God is saving people even today. Because this is what God does, right? Jesus said, "I came to seek and save that which was lost." That's what God does, and that's why Jesus came. So you Christians this morning, you know who you are. And some of you aren't, and you know that too. And to be honest, some of you here still need to be rescued. But you Christians that are here this morning, listen up. You should never be bored. You should never be bored. God is saving people, and there's people all around that God has gifted you to minister to. So individuals in the church, you need to understand that since you're part of the church, that you are the ones responsible for carrying out the Great Commission. It's not the job of just Pastor Don and myself. It's not just the job of the deacons to set up programs in the church to bring lost people in. It's the job of the church members to bring them in. "Well, Pastor, I don't know what I can do. The only thing I know how to do is drive a big rig truck." Well, minister to truck drivers then. Find some truck drivers to talk to Jesus about. "Well, Pastor Josh, the only thing I know how to do is shovel horse manure." Well, I don't know what to say that then. Tell the horses about Jesus, okay? Tell the horses about Jesus. It doesn't matter what your area of expertise is. It doesn't even matter where the location is. God has uniquely gifted you and prepared you to proclaim the greatest story of hope the world has ever known. Recently, we had a giving tree, and there was, I think, 23 different names on there of students. I don't know if the names were on there, but it was of children that come to church and students, youth group students, that needed coats and boots and shoes and different things like that. And you'll notice the giving tree, there's no names on it anymore. All the names were taken. All the gifts were purchased, as far as I know. It's just a really great thing. And this was you folks. This was not the church budget in any way. It was you folks that did this, and I think that's pretty cool. Besides that, we have a food pantry where members of the community can come in and use it, and we literally give food away. And all that food was brought in by you folks. And sometimes I think we have a tendency to overthink what it means to be people of God. I mean, we are men and women who share the gospel of Jesus, but we share more than that. We really share our lives. We can share our hurts. We can listen to hurts. And we're never supposed to wish that someone else would fix this broken world, because Jesus already did that. What we have to do is jump in with both feet, and we get in the middle of the broken world, and we tell people that Jesus came to fix all of that. Then we love those people. This isn't rocket science. What do rocket scientists say when something's easy? This isn't, you know, brain surgery. This isn't trying to get my son Waylon to be quiet for 5 minutes, okay? This isn't something that hard, all right? We just love people. Be mindful of what's going on around you. Be willing to share the story of Christ, the love of Christ, and then be willing to serve others. But Josh, this Christmas break, I just wanted to relax. I just wanted to sit down and lay down and eat popcorn and watch a movie. Well, I have a challenge for you. Try taking the 2.5 hours that you would normally use to watch a movie, or if you were planning on watching Lord of the Rings, take 3.5 hours, and spread that time over 1 month and do ministry for that 2.5 to 3.5 hours. If every one of you Christians and normal attenders here and guests, you're our guest, and I want you to come back, and I'm not putting you to work your first week here. But those who normally come, if every one of you did 2.5 hours of ministry every month this next year, an unbelievable amount of ministry would be done. Jesus' mission would be happening. Confidence in the Savior would grow. And on top of that, you'd be exercising your spiritual gift. I think that would be great. So this is how we're going to wrap it up this morning. And maybe you're looking at your watch and thinking, boy, wrapping it up so soon? Well, it takes me a while to wrap things up. But no, seriously, we're almost done. And maybe I'll be rescuing Pastor Don from the junior church too. Everybody will be happy, okay? Jesus was born. Christmas. Check. That's completed, right? Jesus was crucified. Good Friday. Check. Jesus arose from the grave. Easter. Check. Done. One day, Jesus will return. We can't check that box off yet. Can't check that one off yet. The first time Jesus came wasn't the only time that he'll be here. He'll be back. And when he comes back, he will not be in swaddling clothes in a manger. Listen to this. It's from Revelation 21. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the whole holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts." That's the end. Eventually, Jesus will make all things new. No more tears, no more pain, no more laws, no more taxes even. Amen? Okay, I got a couple amens from that. No more taxes. When Jesus comes back, every wrong will be made right. Every heartache will be corrected. All wounds will be healed forever, and all losses paid back by God's hand. That's the final ending. But we're not there yet. We're still in this broken world. There's trouble everywhere, isn't there? Seems like everywhere you turn. If I'm taking a couple hours to study and not read news articles on the internet, and I click on it, all of a sudden there's been another shooting. There's been another terrorist act. There's been some other underhanded lying scheme that's happening. I mean, every hour it seems like something is happening. Trouble everywhere. At least Jesus was honest with us about that. Jesus never sugarcoated anything. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." A promise. Jesus, he made a lot of promises, and some of them were like, "Yeah, is that really happening? Is that really coming true?" When he promised that there would be trouble, we know it's true. But that, listen to the end of verse. It says, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The world's full of problems, but Jesus has overcome them all. So put your hope in him, your trust and your confidence in him. Push back against the broken world by sharing Jesus Christ, by loving people, and by serving those in need. Work hard to accomplish his mission of seeking and saving the lost. Then just hang on until he comes again and our rescue is complete. You know, there's going to be some incredibly amazing things that happen this week, but nothing compares to Jesus Christ. No family, no gifts, no events compare to the amazing things that Jesus has done to save us. Let's just be honest, okay? There's some family that after a while we just get annoyed with them. And you eventually, if you hang around each other long enough, you'll just start arguing. Then the gifts that we get, they'll eventually, kids will get bored with them, or maybe they'll get broken, or maybe they'll get pushed aside to some corner and they'll be just left unused. And events, they're special and they're neat, but what Jesus did and the confidence and hope it brings, that's something that can permeate every part of our lives. All we have to do is joyfully submit, not to the fairy tale, but to the man, Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for our sin, bore our sins on his back. He came back to life, and right now he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting to finalize all of this. I don't know how you could do life without believing that. So many people, they invest in what is temporary. But those temporary things that are not going to satisfy, nothing will satisfy without Jesus. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes. I don't know if I have to lead the closing song or not, and that's fine if I have to. You can put up with me for one song. But bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray. Dear blessed Heavenly Father, Lord, we do once again just thank you for sending your Son. Thank you that that's not the only time he's going to be here, but eventually he's going to come and wipe away the tears, wipe away the trouble, and finalize your plan for the universe. And Lord, it's just on my mind so much, and I want it to be on everyone's minds that we just really concentrate and make a special effort on teaching our children and our grandchildren and our nieces and nephews and our cousins and everybody we come in contact with how important Jesus is. Lord, help us to love people as your Son loved them. Help us to serve others as your Son served them, us. Lord, give us the strength, even as this new year is coming and all kinds of busyness and stuff, to pay attention to you. In Jesus' name, amen.